Good to see all of you here this morning. Welcome you to our worship service. And here we are on this the second Sunday of Lent already, which is just almost unbelievable. And hey, the schedule's been thrown off just a little bit. Usually on the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate communion. But because I was gone, we're doing it today, so we're going to have that as part of our worship service. I mention that for those of you who are online this morning, because this may be an opportunity for you to slip away and grab a little cracker or a piece of bread and something, some kind of beverage that you can have and use with us as we celebrate communion this morning together. So good to have all of you here. Of course, last week, Teresa and I were at the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, and you didn't pray hard enough. I'm just telling you, you didn't, okay? But anyway, we're way beyond that. Good to have you here this morning. Welcome you. We're going to begin by singing our congregational chorus, number 99, My Tribute. And Dean, are we doing that twice this morning? We are. The organ's going to play it twice. All right. I invite you to stand as you are able and join our congregational chorus, number 99, My Tribute.
Good morning, everyone. Special greetings to those that are participating on watching us this morning, whether you be in Texas, California, Colorado, Lake of Egypt, Crab Orchard Lake, or wherever you may be this morning. Also, I'd like to thank everyone that participates in the service and helps out with running the church. First thing we have this morning are announcements. We invite you to join us for a special Lent and Holy Week services, community Lenten services. See the screens for more information that are out throughout the church itself, the Fellowship Hall. Palm Passion Sunday, April 2nd. Worship will include the stripping of the sanctuary. Easter Sunday, April 9, worship at 9:30 a.m. We're looking for drivers as the adult ministry grows. There will be times that the group might travel by our van or bus. Our list of drivers is small, and we want to add drivers so that we will have plenty of availability. If you're willing to train and get your license, please contact Leah. Hope you're getting some response. Good, very good. The family of Doris Kiesling invites you to a 90th birthday party to honor her. So say this is not a surprise. Happy birthday in advance. The celebration will be held on Sunday, March 26th from 2 to 4 at the Carterville Community Center. In lieu of gifts, bring items for the Carterville United Food Bank. Cards are welcome. The clipboards, young at heart, on the road, enjoy fellowship and lunch. And Thursday, March 16th, we will travel to Castle Ridge in Centralia. Before I open up for other announcements, I have a couple of thank yous here from Angie. Thank you to our Meals on Wheels team. Many were out ill or other obligations this time. Thanks to those subs and regulars that rearranged their week to volunteer. And also, our church is surely blessed by the current members that are viewing on the serving on the nurturing committee. They stepped up in a big way for our Lent service on Wednesday, March the 8th. Wonderful meal, service, and cleanup. Thank you so much, team. Again, from Angie. Are there further announcements at this time? Guess not. As we continue our service with the prelude and the lighting of the worship candles. Thank you. As we continue, please join me in our call to worship. We seldom see the foundation of a great building.
It will not stand without one.
Often great deeds are built on the foundation that others have laid.
And those great deeds could not be accomplished without them.
Let us continue our service by turning to number 140. Great is thy faithfulness. Would everyone please stand if you are able.
You may be seated. If you'd like, I invite you to reach for this little black songbook, The Faith We Sing, and turn to 222-226, and you may know this by heart as well. We're going to sing together the chorus, Bind Us Together. Together a long time about the future and about changes in the life of our congregation. We've learned that some things that we've been praying for and thought were going to be a certain way are not going to be that way, and other things are changing. And you know, change is oftentimes not easy, even though it's needed. I hope many of you this week received a note that I sent out about a change coming in our worship service. The change in the way that we're going to be sharing joys and concerns, our prayer joys, our prayer concerns, as we move forward in the worship service. And I'm sure some of you are asking, why are we doing this? Well, some people probably think we're great the way we are, but the reality is we're not. There are a lot of people who are concerned about the way we do it and about the open mic on Sunday morning. And I shared all of that in a document. And if you didn't get that, there are about 10 copies of it laying up here on the front pew. And welcome you to come and get one of those so you can read through this. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be transitioning. We're going to be using our prayer leaders to come up and share the concerns that are shared in the prayer book, which is down in the corner of the entry area as you come in. They'll be there on Sunday morning. They'll help you get your prayer concern in that book, as well as the prayer concerns throughout the week will be put in there by the office staff. And they'll come and they'll share. The next few weeks, we'll be passing the microphone around like we have been, but we'll be sharing from that book as well. But on Easter Sunday, we're going to transition to just using the prayer book. I know some of you are saying, this is great. I know some of you are saying, I don't like this. And I'm sorry about that. For those who don't, I ask one thing. Would you just try to be open to it and just be open to what we're doing? I think worship is the heart of the church, and there is nothing that I do professionally that I take more seriously than leading the worship service. I am convinced this is good for us, and I hope you'll be convinced of that too. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty and gracious God, change is hard. Even change we want sometimes is hard. Lord, I just pray that you'll just guide us as we move forward through this process. Help us, God, to discern your will, because that's really all that matters, God, is are we living in your will? Are we pleasing you as a church and individually as a person? And Lord, help us to hear that and to know it and to trust it. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. In your name we pray. Amen. Having said that, does anybody have a joy or a concern this morning they would like to share?
Well, you going to do it or am I going to do it?
I just did it.
Well, I've got a few things here.
Oh, right. You go ahead and share yours then, okay?
Okay. I have two lists here. On celebrating birthdays this week, I've got Patrick Fries and I've got Joe Taylor. Hope that's right. And then I have another list here that I received. Has Steve Graff, Stu Stanley, Anita Hale, Nicholas Gooden. And then for flowers on the altar, I have a couple lists. Billy Raj for Bernadette Gooda A. And we have celebration of Sarah Sizemore's birthday. And then also in memory of Joe Kiesling. Now, if this is from another time, I'm sorry, but this is what I got. So happy birthday and honor to all of those that the flowers are on the altar. So let us continue. Are there other joys? Let us also remember those in mention of the concerns that are on the bulletin of all of those there, as well as ones that we are going to be bringing up the concerns today. So are there others? Yes.
I'd like to for you to welcome my friend Norma from Hollybrook. She's here to celebrate today with us, so thank you.
We're glad to have you this morning. Welcome you.
I have a concern, a very, very big concern. Don has been in the hospital since last Saturday. He had a bad issue with his gallbladder. He has been out of his head for days, but he turned the corner yesterday, and I think we're on the road to recovery, and hopefully by tomorrow we can move him to Hollybrook. We're actually going to move him to Bounce Back if he's up to it tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for all the prayers and concerns that people that did know. I know it helped a lot.
A few weeks ago, Lida asked the congregation for prayers for a friend of hers. Her name is Natalie Murray, and she's asked for prayers for her son, who is ill with cancer. Next Saturday at, can't think of the name of it, the Mexican place in La Fiesta, there it came to me. In Marion, they're having a fundraiser. They're going to give a percentage of their total take for the day to Zach for his recovery. Part of it is at MD Anderson in Texas, and part of it is in St. Louis. Either one of them are expensive because there's lots of transportation involved. So if you want a good meal, go to Las Fiestas in Marion, and just, you don't have to tell them anything, just a percentage of their total cash register take is going to be given to Zach. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you would, please keep my wife, Jenny, in your prayers. She's recovering or trying to recover from RSV. It's a terrible, terrible lung disease. It's you can't really do anything for it. They give you pills to fight any other infection, and then you just kind of work your way through the rest of it. And if you would, as you might know, we've had a couple terrible weeks, probably more than that right now. My sister is in a nursing home, and out of necessity, I volunteered to become POA for her estate. If you've never done anything like that, don't do it. It's, you can't believe it. You're going in to a loved one and basically selling everything and removing everything in their life. And it's just It's terrible. I don't know how to describe it. Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for their prayers and concerns. I'm still facing cancer on the lung, but I got some good news out of it. The committee finally decided that they were going to do what they were going to do and got a game plan. So I am going to start radiation next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. And they say that it looks like it's something that it can handle.
I do have a joy that I failed to mention. Last Sunday, I asked for prayers for myself because I was going to have a procedure done on Monday. It was a skin cancer on my head that they was fearful that it was melanoma. It was not, which is good news. And the surgery went well, and I get the stitches out, I think, a week from Tuesday. So thank you for your concerns.
All right, thank you. Are there any others this morning?
I have some others here.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yes. I have a note here from the Equays. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers and beautiful flowers and Thespian service. Our sense of loss and grief are profound, but we are deeply grateful for your support and care. Hopefully for our Carterville family. Truly, thank you, Brian, Jerry, and Zella. And then I also would like to thank Art for filling in for me last Sunday. I had just got up and I was all ready to come, but fortunately my stomach had other ideas. So anyway, thank you for filling in. Some announcements that I missed in the bulletin. There are this week's events. Are there any changes or additions to all of those? I'm going to read them at this time. If not, I think this takes care of the joys and concerns. One big joy is the Vols are still playing basketball on the Nationals. Thank you.
Let's continue in our worship this morning. I invite you to be in an attitude of prayer. I invite you to be in prayer in your pew, but if you'd like, feel free to come and join me at the altar. Dean's going to play a little transition music and give you time to get up here. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we're grateful for this morning. We're grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to be here, to be in this house this morning, to be surrounded by friends and family and others, Lord, with this one common thing that we're doing together, and that's lifting our hearts to you in worship. We're thankful, God, that you are here, fulfilling your promise to be here when we worship you. And Lord, we pray that we will open our hearts this morning, that the presence of your Holy Spirit might speak into our hearts and to our lives, and that through something that's done this morning, Lord, a prayer that is offered or a scripture that's read or a word that's spoken or the sacrament that's offered, that we might, Lord, find that sacred moment, that moment when we have our eyes open and see your presence and feel that, God, in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, this morning we've heard the concerns of many, and Lord, a lot of them are for people that have real health concerns. Some of them are battling cancer or they're battling other long-term illnesses, God. God, we lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, that you would surround them with your love and your grace. And Lord, what we recognize this morning is that what's been offered and shared this morning is only a small part of what's really here. That there's not one of us here, Lord, that probably doesn't have a concern this morning, something that's important and relevant in our lives. So, Lord, we lift those up to you right now. God, we thank you for the blessings. We thank you, God, for the joys that you bring into our lives each and every day. And Lord, from the moment that we wake as we go throughout the day, very quickly, those become far too numerous to mention or to record. They flood upon us, God. And we just give you thanks and praise for that this morning, Lord. We pray this morning, God, that you hear our prayers. And we know you do. Because you go out of your way to tell each of us, God, how special we are to you. That you know all of our names. You even know how many hairs there are on our heads. You know us that intimately, God. And so, Lord, we know that you hear us when we lift our voices or our thoughts to you. And so, Lord, we ask this morning that you hear our prayers and you respond to them in accord to your understanding and your wisdom. And then, Lord, if necessary, help us to deal with that response. Because sometimes it's not the one we would want or the one we would choose. But help us to trust that it's right and that it's best. And to move forward believing in your love and in your goodness, in your compassion for us. God, hear our prayers as we raise them to you this morning. And God, hear our prayer. As we join together now, Lord, praying the prayer that you have taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our holy bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our second hymn this morning is hymn number 298. You may remain seated, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer as we give thanks for the offering this morning? Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, Lord, we give you thanks for our offering this morning. Whether it's in the plate at the back of the sanctuary or through the website or comes in the mail, Lord, these are all offerings, Lord, which are made to you. And we give you thanks and praise for each of them, Lord. But Lord, we recognize each week that these offerings are only a small part of the offerings that bless your church. It is the offering of our time and our gifts and our talents, which also bless the life of your church. And so we ask, God, your blessing upon all who give the varieties of ways that bless your church. In your name we pray. Amen. I think it's time for the choir to gather this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Everyone that participated. This time, we have the reading this morning. It's Acts 1:21-26 from the New International Version, and in your pews, the page number in the Bible would be 1077. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. Beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Judas, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over his apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11th apostles. God bless this reading.
As we move through the season of Lent, continuing to look at the various groups that are involved in the passion of Jesus, and the group we're looking at this morning is this group of people who we know exist, but we don't know very much about them. They are the people who are this dedicated group of followers of Jesus, and we pick up little hints about them from time to time. But they remind me of Lila Sternberg. I don't think Lila was 5 foot tall. And I'm pretty sure she wouldn't have weighed 90 pounds soaking wet. But she was an energizer bunny of activity and energy. She was a part of the congregation at Murfreesboro, and she was one of those kind of persons that you saw around all the time doing different things, but I didn't interact with her an awful lot because, to the best of my knowledge, she was never in any kind of leadership that I can remember the 11 years I was there. In those 11 years, I sat probably through thousands of committee and task force meetings. And maybe a handful of them, Lila was in that in one way or another, but not very often. But she was the kind of person that any time you needed help to get something done, you called her because she was super willing to do that. That was her life. That was her ministry. She didn't want to be in the spotlight. She didn't want recognition. She wanted to help you do what you needed to do. And if you needed her to come early, that's great. If you needed her to stay late and clean up, that was great. I never heard her say an unkind word about anybody in all the time I knew her and all the time we worked together in different projects and different things. I did hear her say a few times that things were nonsense, but she was just being honest about it at the time. But she was an amazing individual who lived in the background of a congregation and never wanted to be anything else. She was a servant. And anytime she thought the gifts and talents that she brought to God could be of use, you could see her there. And she was a part of it. She always smiled. She was always jolly. She was just a sweet, pleasant spirit to be around. We were at Murfreesboro 11 years, and she was quite elderly when we got there. I don't think she aged one day. in the 11 years we were there. She seemed to be exactly the same when we left as when we went there. Lila represents a group of people who have been a part of every church I've served over the last 4-plus decades. That group of people who fulfill the role of servant. They don't want the spotlight. They don't want to be recognized. They don't want to be up front. They want to be in the background. And they just want to help you do what you feel like God is calling you to do. Whether it's serving in a particular role or in a particular way, it doesn't really matter. If she needs to be in the kitchen or if she needs to be cleaning up or if she needs to be whatever, that's fine. I think back over the years and I think of all the individuals who I've known whose faces and names I can remember, some of the names, but men and women who lived that kind of a life. That role of being the servant. And to recognize the fact that the church doesn't exist without them. They are, in many ways, one of the things that a church needs. The reality is every organization needs them. You know, every organization has a couple kinds of people in it. There's leaders and there's followers. And the people who lead, they often say, how do you know if you're leading? If you look behind you, are there people there? Well, those people, they're the followers. And that's the kind of person Lila was. And they are part of everything. They're really the energy that drives the organization and the group. They are foundation stones upon which others build. And many times others receive the recognition and the spotlight and the praise for the variety of service and acts which they do, and they are perfectly okay with that because that's their calling in life. Everything needs a foundation that's built. This building we're in right now has a foundation, and if it didn't, it wouldn't be here. And what we know is if that foundation begins to crack or move, the whole building is in jeopardy. I'll never forget when Teresa and I went to the 9/11 Memorial in New York City, and you go way, way down underground. And there's one spot there where you walk along the foundation of one of the towers that came down. And you see that steel and you see that concrete that was there right on the bedrock, which is where it has to be in order to hold a building like that. Foundations are absolutely essential to everything, and every organization has to have one. And the kind of people like Lila are the kind of people that form those foundations that others build on and succeed. When you read the Gospels and the ministry of Jesus, you begin to pick up hints along the way of this group of people that surrounded Jesus. We all know about the 12 disciples, and they're all named over and over again in the Gospels. But then every once in a while, you get a comment from one of the Gospel writers that talks about the other disciples, that talks about the other followers. Every once in a while, there's a reference to the women of Galilee that moved about and worked with Jesus. But we almost never hear anything about them at all, and they're almost never named. We almost know nothing about them, except that they're there and they exist. They were there, the women were there at the resurrection. We know those stories. Some of them we know names. Others are just like the other women who were a part of that. And as we read farther in kind of the second volume of the Luke Acts, the Acts part of that, we read this reading, which comes from Peter, and is talking about we need to fill the role that Judas, who has committed suicide and is no longer available to be a disciple, and they need to fill that slot. And in this little reading, we learn a little bit about that group that's following Jesus. And one of the things we learn is, Peter says, they were here from the baptism all the way through the crucifixion and resurrection. These have been dedicated and followed, and these have been dedicated believers and followers of Jesus throughout his entire ministry. They've been there in the background all along, providing resources, doing what they could in order to support this ministry and to move it forward. We finally learn a number as we read through the book of Acts that there's about 120 of them at the time of Jesus' death and resurrection. And we learn a couple of their names here as one of these two guys are selected to be a disciple. It's the only time they're ever mentioned in the Bible is in that verse. They are never mentioned again anywhere. And the other group that gathers with them, we almost never know their names. But what we know is this, that they were the ones who start the early church. If you read on a little farther and you read to the day of Pentecost, they were the group that were praying with the disciples in the upper room. They were the group that received the tongues of fire. They were the group that went out into the street and began to share the witness of who Jesus was. Not as a theory, but as a person, as a relationship that they had seen, that they witnessed to in their lives. And on that day, thousands were converted and the early church was born because of them and the role that they played in the life of the church. They were there the day the church was born. And what's interesting is their offspring continue to this day in the life of the church. They are here this morning, present and in these pews. They are down the street at the Christian church. They're across the street at the Catholic church. They're at the other churches here in town and the other churches in the state and around this world. And if they're not there, it doesn't last very long. And it doesn't work very well. You know, it's in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, that the Apostle Paul begins to write about an organization like a body. And he goes through that little bit where he says, you know, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The foot can't say, you know, I don't need you. That every part is important. Every part does something unique in the midst of that. And if you look at that metaphor, if you look at that image and think, well, leaders are the head, then the people that I'm talking about this morning are the heart. You don't see them. But if you put your hand right there, you feel them. And if you lay your ear on a chest, you hear them. They're the heart of an organization. And they move it forward. And they have continued to be a part of the life of the church since its birth on the day of Pentecost. We are like them. And that they are here with us this morning. And they sat in these seats. I thank God for them. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, where would we be without servants? Where would we be without those who simply say, let me help you do what you need to do. Let me help. Who offer themselves and truly expect nothing in return. And who are blessed to simply give what they have to give to help others do what they need to do. Would you bless them this morning? Would you surround them with your grace? And would you let them know that while others may not see them, you do. And what is done in quiet, you see in the bright light of your grace and of your love. In your name we pray. Amen. Our communion hymn this morning is hymn number 618. 618, let us break bread together. You may remain seated as we sing hymn number 618. For over 2,000 years, the people who call themselves the followers of Jesus have gathered to celebrate this ritual. This ritual which Jesus began in the upper room with his disciples shortly before his crucifixion. On that evening, he took a loaf of bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. As oft as you eat of it, remember me." Later in the evening, he took a cup and he filled it with wine and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, remember me and be thankful." Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty and gracious God, by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, would you consecrate, Lord, this cup and this loaf, that they would be for us your body and your blood, that as we receive them, Lord, we receive them as a part of you, and we become a part of you. And in a sacred moment, Lord, we are drawn together to celebrate the relationship that we share. We thank you, Lord, for offering and opening this table to us. And we welcome, God, to receive this sacrament this day. May you bless it, Lord, that we are blessed by it. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite those who are assisting this morning in the serving of the sacrament, if they'd make their way forward at this time. This is Christ's table prepared for you, not because you're worthy, it's because you're loved. I invite you to come forward to receive this sacrament this morning. invite you to stand as you are able for our closing prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we have been in your presence this morning. We thank you for that. We're grateful for it. Because that presence feeds us. It sets us, Lord, on a path to go out into the world and for another week. Go with us, Lord, as we go from place to place. Guide us and direct us in all that we do. That we might live this week pleasing you in word and in action. Help us, Lord, to be your followers and your disciples. Send us out into the world to be your light and your yeast and your salt. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, have a great week this week. Amen.